Let us pray. Lord, have mercy on people who are suffering. Have mercy on our hardened hearts as we relate to one another. Have mercy on us when we are confused or coerced by messages that others are not as beloved or precious as ourselves. Have mercy on us when we fail to limit our own freedoms in order to care for others. And have mercy on us that we would stand defiantly for the kind of love you wish for our world and each other. Forgive us, dear Lord, and help us to bear fruit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This week, we continue in the summer series, focusing on some of Jesus's parables. It's been a fun and enlivening summer for me, hearing all the preachers preach, and I hope it has been for you. This week, Jesus tells this parable of the barren fig tree, and he tells it on the heels of speaking to the disciples about the need for repentance. You see, his followers have asked him about sin and punishment, and they've noted terrible things they've heard in the news. Perhaps you might find this relatable. And they asked Jesus if the terrible things happened to the people because they had sinned. Well, Jesus flat out tells them no. He says bad things happen in this world, and it may have nothing at all to do with people's sin or any form of punishment whatsoever. But then Jesus goes on to say one more thing. He says, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. A bit ominous, if you ask me. It brings up questions. Perhaps, for instance, what really is repentance, after all? And then, how do I make sure I'm repenting sufficiently? A bit of Lutheran history for you. The beginning of what is known as the Reformation is attributed to Martin Luther, a Catholic priest, in 1517, posting 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. The theses were famous for calling into question the church's teaching of repentance. Notably, Luther stated that repentance is not a mere transactional endeavor. He was so adamant about it, he named it straight out in thesis number one, in which he writes this: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent, he meant that the entire life of believers is to be one of repentance. Our entire life is to be one of repentance. How does that hit you? Well, my guess is it probably depends on how you view repentance. I know I, along with many, often think that repentance is like saying I'm sorry and vowing to do better the next time. Biblical scholars will look at the root word of repentance in Scripture and say it's like a turning around, stopping in one's tracks and going another way. And yet, two things about these descriptions seem a bit problematic to me. On the one hand, it seems we'd all have to go around feeling miserable about ourselves all the time, constantly apologizing. And I don't know about you, but this doesn't sound like all that great a life. And if indeed we do have a loving God, it doesn't seem to gel with what God would hope for us. And number two, how could we possibly know when we had turned enough? How could we possibly make sure and know we were repenting sufficiently? It seems we might need to be constantly worried about how much we are doing to repent. And I'm not sure that's what a loving God wishes for us either. Nor do I believe Martin Luther thought this was the case. Perhaps repentance is something more. Which brings us to the parable in question today, or in reference today. It goes like this. Jesus told a parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found nothing. So he said to the gardener, you know, see here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this tree, and still there's none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil? But the gardener replied, sir, let it alone one more year. until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. Throughout the history of biblical and Christian interpretation on this parable, I think it has been rightly surmised that we, you and me, us, God's beloved people, are the trees. And there's truth then that in any given time or circumstance, everything may look like we don't produce much fruit. Perhaps not only individually, but also collectively. And I ask then, what does a tree need to do to produce fruit then? If we are a tree that isn't producing fruit, can we will ourselves to do it? Does a tree think about producing fruit? Does a tree gird up its loins and pull itself up by its own bootstraps and use all of its own effort to make fruit? As I've enjoyed apples over the years, it seems that a good tree just simply makes fruit. And so while the parable poses a challenge to us trees, at the same time I hear hope and promise. The gardener says, this tree that isn't producing fruit, let it be for a minute. Let me work with it. Let me tend to the roots and give it nourishment. I learned some things about fig trees this week. I learned that it generally takes a fig tree anywhere from 3 to 5 years of growth for it to produce any fruit whatsoever the first time. So one might say that the vineyard owner in the parable could be a bit impatient. He just needed to wait longer. But my guess is a vineyard owner would know that fig trees need that long. And so it could very well be that when the vineyard owner has come looking for fruit, he has shown up in years 4, 5, and 6 when you would expect to find the fruit. And thus, he's not wrong to suggest the tree is useless and merely taking up space. Giving Jesus's parables, they always seem to contain a radical twist. And I imagine this is the case here. All the more surprising, then, that the gardener would say, well, just leave it one more year. Why? The tree is useless. And yet, isn't this the kind of God, the kind of Christ, the Jesus we have heard and known? This is to say, when things look to be utterly barren, dead, hopeless, fruitless, God in Christ, as the gardener says, let me work with it. Because barrenness, death, fruitlessness, despair, a tree bearing no fruit is no match for this gardener's hands. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for a life of repentance? There's a lot of trouble out there in the world today. It's safe to say the world needs some fruit. For us to be fruitful, it may mean we confess and turn, and yet we do not do this of our own accord. We hear Jesus say in the parable that it happens as the defiant, patient, kind, forgiving, bold, never-ending gift of love from the divine permeates our roots and nourishes our branches and produces something new and good and sweet. It's not difficult to note that we are a people, a humanity in need of repentance, of taking real deep stock in the ways fruit is not always made in our human reality. And in that midst, Jesus says, you are my tree. I'm going to work with you. Perhaps one simple exhortation we might hear from the parable today is this: hang in there. Continue to be rooted in bold, caring love. And why will this be a lifetime's endeavor? Well, because you or I or anyone in all creation, none of us will finally get it right, certainly not on our own. And yet, hang in there. The gardener is still at work in you, in me, in this world, today and tomorrow and the next. So today, maybe we contemplate what fruit the God of love, the Christ of all compassion and understanding, Jesus, who breaks through all barriers of life, sin, death, mistakes, worry, and strife, is seeking to cultivate in you? Could the fruit be a greater understanding of our neighbors? Could it be sitting with people in suffering? Could it be carrying one another when we can't carry ourselves? Could it be steering us to a new ordering of life in our families and workplaces? Could it be a new understanding of our own political holdings? Could it be a recognition that the beliefs and principles which we have been holding onto with clenched fists for so long do not finally tell the full truth about us or the world, and thus there is need to be opened, to blossom, to be nourished by light and water and caring love, to be made new people, new trees, every single day? Here's what I hear from the parable. The gardener says, "Let me have these trees." That is our repentance. Dear ones, here's the proclamation. You are God's trees in this world. Whether you have been producing fruit or have been barren beyond all hope, you are and continue to be in the hands of an expert gardener. And if you are hearing these words from Jesus today and this proclamation, God is not done cultivating you. This repentance ain't easy, dear ones, and yet it is needed and good. So I'll say it again, dear trees. The gardener is continuing to make fruit grow out of your branches. As the Apostle Paul aptly states then, may the God of hope fill you with that faith, so you continue to repent and abound in hope. In fact, so that you continue to be fruity in the world. And then, just go be fruity. God knows the world needs it badly right now. So rest in this love. Be rooted in the hands of Christ. Soak it up and let it pour out into the world. Amen.